Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Smacked right into my desk. Okay, maybe new podcast branding, but same stupid Barack.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Witchful Thinking Podcast.
New and improved 2.0, our first rebrand ever.
Yeah. If you don't follow us on social media, you probably still noticed because we changed our cover art on Spotify and all other listening platforms. But Brooke and I did a fun little photo shoot when I was in Richmond recently. And we've had some mood boards going on for a while for what we saw for our rebrand. And it just came together so perfectly. It was so seamless and it was so easy. Like, I'm shocked at how two people with ADHD sometimes can just like knock out 2 weeks worth of work in like 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We literally stayed up till like 1:30 in the morning, just hardcore staring at our phones and our computers, going back and forth, sending photos back and forth, like working on fucking our logo, our banners for Twitter, banners for Facebook, our freaking like little avatars, little circles. I could not be happier with it. I'm so proud of us. I'm so excited. I just feel like this matches our vibe so much more.
Yeah. And we should tell the listeners why, like, what was the inspiration behind this and how long because we've been thinking about this off and on for, I don't know, definitely a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And we were thinking like, okay, we are coming up on the third year anniversary of the podcast, which is kind of nuts. And just how it was time to really craft it in a way that we felt embodied how we've taken our content, the direction we've gone in, the things we talk about, all that good stuff. And also, Brooke and I we're in our, what is it called? What's it called when you turn 27?
Our Saturn return.
And we're about to both turn 28 here in a couple of weeks.
Weeks? Yeah. Months. Girl, it's March.
Oh, you're right. In a couple of months. It's a couple of weeks too, just a lot of weeks.
It's a lot of weeks.
And so, you know, we're in our late 20s and our style has changed and lots of things seem to kind of change in your life around the age of 27 and 28. So we felt a rebrand would be appropriate and something to a rebrand that would carry us through our 30s, essentially almost like long-term planning for the podcast. And obviously as we get older and our content moves in different directions, the people listening are getting older and their lives are going in different directions. And so hopefully we're catering this new design to kind of how we see our content evolving over the next couple years.
Yes, I agree. I am very like shocked at how long it has taken us to do this, but also it just goes to show that you don't ever you don't realize how far removed you are from like a style of, or of look or something until like several years later. Because like I, even like with clothing, like I look at shit I was wearing back when the podcast first began and I'm like, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. I really wouldn't. What was that like?
I mean, we were both living totally different lives 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Entirely. Like, it's, yeah, it's a nice way to also just appreciate how far we've come. And we want to show our gratitude by really, you know, stepping up our aesthetic and how we, all of our creatives and the things that we make to match how we're feeling. And yeah, I think it turned out fucking amazing. I'm so impressed. And shout out to Brooke's boyfriend who became our stand-in photographer. We literally just handed this guy a camera and we were like, can you like try and take these like editorial professional photos of us? And we showed him an example and we're like, this is what we want. And it was definitely taken by a photographer in a studio, and the man pulled through. Okay,
yes, he did a shout good out job. To him. Jackson did such a good job. Like, I mean I'm not surprised. I knew he would because he's great at taking pictures, but like he worked with us. We were struggling a little bit. I kept looking off in one direction.
it's so funny. I wish, damn, we forgot to take a picture. I wish we had taken a picture of where we were taking pictures, because when you see all the final products, it looks like we went to a studio and had photos taken of us. But we used one of Brooke's living room walls. We pulled her credenza off of the wall. We pulled everything, we pushed it out so that, because you have a lot of artwork on your walls, and so it's kind of hard to find a blank wall, but there was one, and it has like, you know, candle wax on it from probably when you're blowing out a candle, and the wax gets on the wall, and there's like holes from where you've hung stuff up before, and you know, we removed it all, editing the photos and stuff. And it's just, you know, you don't necessarily need to have an expensive camera. You don't need to have, I mean, obviously it is very nice to hire like a photographer and get these banging photos, but you know what, if you got to figure something else out, then you can do it, and you can use a blank wall in your house, and you can get some pretty cool photos. I like it. I like that kind of stuff.
I was very pleasantly surprised, and you guys will see more of the photos as we sift through like yeses and nos and, you know, editing them. And sometimes we got to edit a little harder than others because I kept looking off in the wrong direction. But I am in love with our new cover art. I'm getting that photo of us blown up and framed, Liz. Like, it's going to be framed.
Yeah, no, I don't want to frame just the photo. I want to print and frame our like new cover, like with the Witchful Thinking podcast. I'm gonna get that printed also. It's a fun little way to create a memory of a what is it called? When you step a milestone. That's what it is.
There we go. You see that I had changed I changed our Instagram bio, and it now says, ever heard the joke about the witches fumbling their way through adulthood? New episodes on Wednesday at 7 a.m. Eastern.
Cute.
I changed it because I just felt like it encapsulates not only, like, it's kind of like what we talked about a few months ago. Not only do we talk about spirituality and witchcraft and health and shit like that, but we also, a large part of our content is just about our lives as we've grown and survived through the past 3 years. This is such a pandemic pod.
You know, there are a lot of podcasts that came out of the pandemic. And I think that's really fucking cool. And I'm really glad that we're one of them and we're still here and we're still chugging along.
Yeah, I'm proud of us. I don't know if this podcast will follow us into our 40s. I probably would guess maybe not, just because, like,
I don't know. You never know. You never know.
You never know. I don't know. One of my favorite podcasts just ended, and probably a lot of people who listen to this also listen to Aaliyah Lovely's spiritual shit. She stopped.
She did?
Yeah, she finished it. She said it, like, it's done now, and I'm like,
what? Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, and like
I haven't listened to one of her episodes in a while, but I was watching I was listening to every episode after they were released all through the pandemic.
Yeah, I was obsessed with her. Like, I still follow, like, her Instagram and stuff, and, like, I've been following her personal, you know, she got married and had a baby and everything. And it just, I don't know, it kind of made me just think about, like, how our listeners probably view us. Like, they've, you know, they follow the podcast, but they also follow our personal accounts, and they see, like, I mean, I post way more often than you do, but they still have seen, like, our big milestones. And I just think that's so cool, because, yeah, like, I love being able to still not necessarily, like, keep in touch, but, like, kind of keep tabs on, like, my favorite content creators and whatnot, even after they're finished, like, making the thing that I love so much. Because you never know, like, they may go on to make something else that you totally,
yeah,
with.
And it's almost like when I have listened to one podcast that finished, like, concluded the podcast while I was listening and really into it, and it was like finishing a really good book series. Like, you are so happy that you got to read them and everything, but you're, like, a little sad that it's over and that you can't read that book anymore. So that's what it felt like for me when a podcast I really enjoyed stopped.
Oh, yeah, like, it's such a bummer, but, like, also it just makes room for new stuff, and I kind of feel like that is just our theme for this year, renewal.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing when we were posting, yeah, we posted our renewal, like, panorama at night when, like, nobody was supposed to be awake, and damned if Hannah on the other side of the world in Australia has our notifications on and literally watched me, like, struggle to properly post this shit. But I just think that it's a good time now with, like, Ostara and spring. It's a season of renewal. It's a perfect time for us to do this. Our 3-year anniversary was actually in January. So we're a little bit overdue for it. So, I mean, nothing about us as people is going to change, or the way we present ourselves on this show. I think it's just outwardly we needed a change, and we wanted to give Vogue. We wanted to give editorial.
Yeah, we wanted to give, you know, simplicity and being, I don't know, I think that this style that we went with will age with us better, because it is a little more classic. And, but you know what? Who knows? I don't know. When we're 35, we might be like, we're doing another one. So you never know.
Yeah, fuck it. Who knows? One day maybe we'll be 40 and we'll be like, okay, it's time to say goodbye to wishful thinking. And it moves on to, like, I don't know. I'm just tossing things out into the universe, but owning your own business with your best friend type of podcast. Because Liz and I have manifested an opportunity for us to be co-workers.
I know.
We did that.
Okay. There has got to be somewhere in the depths of this podcast where we have said, and it may have even been 3 years ago when we started this thing, how that we would manifest ending up, like, having creative projects together other than the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of fun and exciting new things to talk about. But for the main topic of this episode is we wanted to say our six truths that you can't just get around in life. Things that we have learned and really believe that, like, these are the things that, at least for us, we're like, you can't get around them. These are just what they are. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we can talk about our fun little exciting project that we manifested together.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. And then Liz also apparently has a dream she is dying to tell me about.
Wait, should I start with that?
You want to start with that? Start with your dream first.
I'm going to start with that because it's kind of a short story. So I had a dream last night where I found a lost thing that I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. And in my dream, I just knew where it was. I went straight to it, found it, and I woke up and I went and looked in that spot and it was there. And it's this lost thing I've been looking for.
Get out.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's not like, you know, this crazy dream or anything. So I lost my tea tree oil and I told Brooke, so I'm wearing a pimple patch because Brooke influenced me to try pimple patches and I'm sold. I'm really sold. Say no more. But for years, I haven't done pimple patches. I have always just been a go-to tea tree oil person. And if I have a pimple, I put a little bit of tea tree oil on it and it dries it right up and it goes away. And that works for the type of acne that pops up on my face every now and then. So I'm looking for my tea tree oil and I can't find it. And this pimple is really fucking bothering me. It's like right in the crease of my forehead where when I move my eyebrows, it moves and it hurts. You know, it's like getting a cut on a part of your finger you move all the time and it just fucking hurts. So I went out and I bought the pimple patches. But last night I had a dream that my tea tree oil was in a clear zipper pouch inside of a suitcase that I used to go to Mexico. And I haven't opened it since because when I travel, even when I travel to Richmond, I just do carry-ons. I'm not checking a bag.
Yeah.
So I had a dream that I wasn't even like looking for it. It wasn't lost in the dream. I just wanted it and I went over and got it. And I woke up and I was like, let me go check that spot. That's so weird. I had a dream about it. And there it fucking was.
That's insane. I have never in my life had anything like that. Just goes to show like your subconscious was knowing something.
Yeah. So, and I didn't even try my like little pendulum thing. I should have though, because I have found lost items with that. But you know what? Maybe if you've lost something, try going to bed thinking about it.
Yeah.
And perhaps somewhere in the depths of your brain, you know where it is and you have a dream about it. And then wake up and go check that fucking spot because it worked for me. And I just thought it was really cool. And I got all excited about it. I was like, I found my tea tree oil and my brain told me where it was in my sleep.
So impressive. That is the neatest thing ever. Like, that's really cool. I've never in my life dreamt of anything that told me something about like a truth in real life. I don't think like ever.
Yeah. Like I have had a couple other dreams that have like come true or whatever. While we're on that topic, I'll share this one because it was also really weird short story. I had a dream that I had spinal cancer, that I found out I had spinal cancer. This is not me telling you guys I have spinal cancer, by the way.
Oh my God.
I wonder if I told you this. Have you?
I don't know.
So it was a couple of years ago. It was probably, I don't know, a year or two ago. I had a dream that I went to the doctor and I found out I had spinal cancer and I had to get surgery on my spine. And it was kind of a really traumatic, terrifying dream. And I woke up and that day my grandpa found out that his sister had spinal cancer and had to go get surgery. And I was like, that is, I mean, and I didn't say anything because obviously when someone tells you a family member has spinal cancer, you're not going to be like, that's so weird. I dreamt about that last like, and I wasn't close with that family member, or anything. So of course, like my poor grandpa's like really upset. And the whole time I'm like, oh my God, I just had a dream about that. But I was very upset that that family member had spinal cancer. But what are the odds? I don't have dreams like that. Like that's not, I don't have dreams about finding ailments or getting cancer or being sick. I don't have dreams like that, like at all. And it was just weird that I had a dream that I had spinal cancer and I woke up and that day my grandpa found out his sister had spinal cancer.
That's mad specific, dude.
Yeah. So I don't know. That was, so just like little things like that are just very, I'm very perplexed. I don't know, you know?
Perplexed? I haven't heard that word in a while. Perplexed.
Look at me.
I'm perplexed.
Look at Miss Vocabulary over here.
Ooh, I'm perplexed.
So yeah, that was my dream story. I found some lost shit in my sleep, and I think that's really fucking cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. So
damn. Shall we dive into our truths?
Yeah.
Okay, so not gonna lie, we saw an article that kind of inspired this, and the article had totally different truths in it, but we came up with six of our own. So these are six things that we know to be true at age 27, about to be 28. And they're not like life-changing or anything, but I feel like hearing them, reading them, it kind of like, I don't know, it may like flip a switch in your brain. If you're needing like some type of reset or some kind of,
maybe like some kind of reminder.
Yeah. Like this is just how it is. This might like help you out or something. I don't know. But anyways, since yours is the first on the list, why don't you go first?
I'll start with mine. It fits that it's the one to start with, because my first truth is that you just have to start now. And what, like, I literally mean applying that to everything in life almost. Start wherever you're at. I don't even know what it is. Maybe it's eating healthier. Maybe it's trying to drink 2 cups of coffee a day instead of 4. Maybe it's getting up and working out. Maybe it's starting your business, or maybe it's like doing a hobby. Maybe it's doing a brand refresh like we did. And it's just like starting now means like starting with fear, starting with pain, starting with doubt, starting with whatever state you're currently in. You just have to start. And you just have to say yes to things that maybe are going to push you out of your comfort zone. And I don't know, that's just like, that has become so evident to me over the past year, especially, that when it comes to things that I really fucking want, I just have to start it. And things build on top of each other, opportunities build on top of each other. So like, I was really scared to start my own business and I didn't know where to start. And that was totally fine. I just had to start. I couldn't wait till I knew everything about starting a business. I couldn't wait until I started my business before I had a website, you know? And it's, sometimes it's just about starting, no matter what state you're at, no matter where you are in your progress with it, no matter how much education or knowledge you think you have, sometimes it just takes starting to get the ball roll, like to get the ball rolling. And you know, I don't know. That's like probably one of the biggest things I've learned in my 20s is you just have to start. You just have to do it. And you almost have to be like really tough with yourself and be like, oh, you're scared? I don't care. Go for it. Like push yourself in the deep end. Don't let somebody else do it. Push yourself in the deep end and just start and fumble and bumble. And nobody knows what the fuck we're doing half the time. We're all fumbling and bumbling forever. So just start and fumble and bumble like the rest of us, you know?
Yes. Wait, speaking of fumbling and bumbling, isn't that what is in our fucking... Yeah, it's what's in our bio, fumbling.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, and you just changed that.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Fumbling and bumbling.
Yeah, fumble and bumble. It's okay. You know, I don't know. If you're going to be scared, because you're either going to be scared to start or you're going to be scared to fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might as well just be scared to fail and it's going to happen. But don't be scared to start, because then there's no chance of you failing and there's no chance of you succeeding.
I agree. And this not only applies to starting a business or, you know, starting like a podcast or whatever, but it also applies to like smaller things, like deciding you want to change your clothing style, deciding that you want to exercise more, deciding that you want to change the decor in your home, and you keep putting off like, oh, but I want to save up like $600 so I can buy this, this, and this. No, if you want to start changing your style, you want to start changing something in your home so that you feel more happy and comfortable and like it's more of a direct reflection of like who you are and what you're into, just start small, but just start anyways. You may not have money to buy a whole new couch, buy the little pillows. You might not have money to buy 10 new pieces of art. Buy one or two, work your way up. Like, it is such a rewarding feeling when you see a plan like that come together. And it's just, I don't know. I think just starting out can just be applied to everything. And Liz, I don't know if you have like talked to people who have listened to the podcast and they talk about how they want to have a podcast, but they don't know where to start. And the look on their face when you say like, just do it. Just record an episode and just make up a type, just make an Instagram for it. And they're like, but nothing. Nobody cares about your shit as much as you do, bro. No one fucking cares about your shit as much as you care about it. And that is a very humbling truth. You are so minuscule, and it's, you have so much power in being that small.
Yeah. And that is the second truth that Brooke came up with, which is most people don't know you fucking exist. And like, you know, we've all seen the videos of people saying, calm down. And then they zoom out, you know, all the way into space. And they're like, that's you. So just whatever it is you're stressing out about right now, like, just take it less serious. Nobody knows you exist. Which sometimes that's not like the words that you need to hear, depending on what you're doing or where you're at. But when it comes to just, you know, maybe feeling insecure or wondering about what other people think of you or how other people are going to react, or I guess when it just comes to like dealing with other people, we're our own biggest critics. We see ourselves through our own eyeballs, and sometimes we forget that other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think fashion is a really great example for this. Is, I mean, can you imagine? I remember wanting to change my style when we lived in our small little town, and it was petrifying to me to even step outside in a style that nobody else there was wearing, and that was different from the style I always wore. Because mm-hmm. I knew people were going to have some shit to say. And that stopped me from trying a new style. And it's like, you know what? Well, first of all, some of them actually might care and have their opinions. But like, it doesn't matter. They're like, most people don't know you exist. And you're going to walk past them and you have this thing that you're like petrified about in your mind, and they don't even know you exist.
No, and use it to your advantage. Like, that's another thing. Back when I did YouTube, I remember making a video about like 5 things to know before you start a YouTube channel. And one of the things was like, nobody knows who you are. And that might seem like, oh, like I'm such a small creator, nobody cares about my content. Yeah, that's a good thing. It's good nobody cares yet, because this is when you're going to be fucking up. This is the time to be making those mistakes, because nobody's watching you. If you're not big like Tana Mojo, look at how many times that girl's fucked up. You're not big like Shane Dawson, the dude that was making jokes about banging his cat or whatever. No eyes are on you yet. So you take advantage of that and humble yourself. You know, as much as we talk on this podcast about like, you can do anything you want, blah, 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 you definitely can. But like, it's very important to remember in the grand scheme of things, you are just a human being like everybody else. And I mean, sometimes you're going to have to fight for what you want, and it might take a little bit longer. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes for some people, especially if you have like ego issues.
I think also what like can help you when it comes to this, this fact of like, most people don't know you exist and they don't care, is something that I have been doing recently that feels really fucking good, at least for me and my mental health. And that is like moving in silence. Like I have, and it's personally has just really helped me to get off of social media. I think I've said this before on the podcast, my Instagram is there. You can follow it. You'll see I haven't posted since like last June, maybe. Because I stopped, I pretty much deleted everything except that and just left it there, but I don't even log on anymore. And it was a really easy thing for me to do. I just removed the app from my home screen. I didn't even delete it from my phone. I just removed it from the home screen. And I was no longer just going to Instagram when I was bored. And I've just been doing everything in silence. I have been, you know, getting my health back on track, eating better, you know, just enjoying my social life and my career and everything that I have right now in silence. And that is powerful to me. It makes me feel really good, because nobody knows I exist except for me. And I love this aspect of nobody knows I exist and I'm like being successful in silence all by myself. Like, not all by myself, obviously. Like, this is a success we have together, and it's not secret, it's not silent, it's a podcast. But just I'm being grateful and appreciating everything I have in the present, in the now. Just like real life appreciation. And I feel so much more connected to myself being off of social media. And not everybody feels that way, for sure. Social media can help bring people together, build community, make people feel like they're seen and heard. For me, it has been great to move in silence and not, and have people not know I exist.
I don't post on my feed nearly as much as I used to, like 2 summers ago. I genuinely like interacting through stories. Like, that's how I, you know, I just had to pause recording because Jackson walked in and asked me if I wanted to go outside and put fake money on the ground and watch people pick it up, which is something that we like to do because it's super funny. And the money is like obviously fake, but like not nearly as obvious as like Monopoly money. It's only obvious when you stop and read that it says like United States of Origami.
Yeah.
before, but I'm keeping that part in. That was funny. What were we talking about?
You were talking about how you like interacting and, you know, connecting with people through stories and, you know, posting funny things and just like the little bits about your life throughout the day. And
yeah, I like doing that stuff. And I also, you know, on any given day, like for work, I am like posting things that are like pushed to my phone from scheduling platforms to post for brands. And so it's really hard for me to not be on it at this point because of my job. Like I always have to be on the lookout for trending audio, for visual trends, like all that types of stuff, because I'm a content strategist. But I will say that it's definitely made me care less about my own feed. I just, by the time the day is over, like I don't have the energy to post anything for myself.
Yeah.
If anything, like I post more on my Bookstagram feed than I do in my own, because it's like just flat lays that I Photoshop of books that I like.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's nice. I feel like at this age, I finally understand how nice it is to not be something or someone that everyone's watching all the time, which is kind of like how people from the beginning of, you know, Instagram's launch have reacted to the app. Like everyone thinks that they always have to be posting because everyone cares, and nobody does. Nobody cares as much as you do.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so that was our second take. Let's see. You want to go with the third one?
Third hot take. I was thinking about switching it up a little bit to segue, but I'm actually just going to go with what our second one was, because we did switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So third hot take, hot truth, whatever. You can't understand everything. And I am going to say that I wrote that in reference to, like, you're not going to understand everything that people do. You're not going to understand why everything happens to you. And that is that. Like, Liz and I have said many times in the podcast that we don't like the saying, everything happens for a reason, that you may not understand, but like, I don't like that phrase. I think it's bullshit. And, but the only thing that is true about it is, like, there's a lot of stuff in life that you're just not going to get an answer for. And I feel like in like a more of an everyday scenario, you could apply this to like someone ghosting you or not getting a job that you really wanted and not getting like an answer for that. Acceptance of things that you don't understand is just a huge part of being an adult and coming to terms with the fact that, like, you don't always get your way.
Yeah, and that it sometimes, like, the world is just cruel and unfair, and like, it just is. Like, I used to believe that everything happened for a reason, and that was something that I was taught in church growing up. Was everything happens for a reason, and if it's a good thing, it was because of God, and if it's a bad thing, it was because of Satan. And but everything happens for a reason, whether it was God or Satan. And it was just like, I don't know about that. I don't know that everything happens for a reason, and I definitely don't believe that anymore.
Yeah,
sometimes things are unfair, and you don't get answers to them, or you don't get that apology that you felt you deserved, or whatever it is, and you have to, like, you just have to make peace with things sometimes and move on, because the world doesn't stop spinning until you get whatever this thing is that maybe you even deserve. Like, not even something that you're like, this just isn't fair, or like, maybe you fucking deserve that, but it's sometimes like they just don't fucking happen. And that is really fucking it. It's really annoying. And but it just is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
That is the most adult way of saying it is what it is. You can't understand everything. It is what it is.
That's right.
So, what's the fourth? What's the fourth?
Fourth one is
when someone shows you who they are.
Not you.
Not you.
When I make my next move.
I was going to say that.
Hermione.
Not me. Not Hermione. You.
You.
That is like one of my favorite TikToks in the world.
I love a good Harry Potter reference.
It's the best. God.
So yes, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. And one of the best examples I have of this is, have you ever been dating someone and they just repeat over and over and over again, you could find so much better, like, you know, you deserve better than me and all this stuff. And sometimes it's like someone who is just trying to be, say, like someone who's just saying, I love you. I'm so grateful for you. I can't believe I get you and you're so amazing. But sometimes those people are spitting the facts and yes, I do deserve better. You're telling it straight to me, and I should have, there are times that I'm like, I should have believed that person when they said that to me over and over again.
And I think for a lot of people, it's hard for them to discern between their partner being like, oh, like, you're so great, like, what did I do to deserve you? And like their partner actually being like, I'm a hunk of shit, like, you're dumb for being with me.
Yeah. If someone says you're dumb for being with me,
be like, damn, that's what you think of me. Peace out, stupid idiot.
Yeah.
Like, no. And I know that phrase is very common. Like, that's definitely not an original idea from us. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. But it is something that I think you can never hear too many times, because especially if you're an empathetic person, you're probably prone to, and I say that lightly because that term gets overused, everyone thinks they're a fucking empath. No, you probably are just a normal human being with compassion. Anyways, it's very easy for people who are empathic or sensitive, whatever, to be like, oh, but like, they explain to me why they are the way they are, and like, it explains the situation, blah, 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 making excuses for their behavior, knowing that the same thing's going to happen over and over. And, you know, obviously everyone has shitty days, and everyone has days where their mood is just icky and they make other people annoyed, or they are hard to work with, or they just aren't their best selves. But at some point it becomes less of you're having a bad day and more of your attitude is shit and the way you treat people is shit and you need to clean your act up. And until you do, like, I'm taking who you are at face value right now, and I'm using that information to inform my decision to leave. So take from that what you will. I'm sure everybody listening to this episode probably has one person in mind that they're like, I thought this,
like,
person,
I should have, this person was literally telling me who they were, and I passed over it because I was looking at them with rose colored lenses.
Yeah. Ow. Ripped my nail off.
Oh my God. I saw you spit that nail out of your mouth and I didn't know what that was.
I bit it off.
I was like, what just came out of your mouth?
I had to rip off all my nails. It's time for a new set. These were getting crusty and gross.
Oh man.
Our next one is, I believe, is this number five? Yeah. Number five. You only control your response to a situation. You cannot control the situation. That is one that I have had a very hard time accepting the past 2 years, because the situation that I have been in where I have felt like I was owed an apology or I felt like I was owed an explanation and I haven't gotten either of those things, accepting the fact that the only thing I can control is the way I react to it is fucking hard, because you can either be, you can be petty, you can be angry, you can call up in your bed, you can cry, you can talk shit to your friends, or you can just be like, I'm gonna leave people to do the dumb shit they do, move the weird way that they fucking move, and I'm going to go about my life and not be like you.
Yeah. That's like saying, you know, whenever I think this concept can help, you know, if you're feeling a little anxious or insecure, you know, about a partner that you have, and you're like, oh my God, they're going out tonight with their friends and I'm not going, are they going to cheat on me? You know, that's a really hard thing to try and like get out of your head, but also you can't control what that person does. You let people do what they're going to do. And yeah, you let people do the stupid shit. Weird in the move ways. What did I just say?
Weird in the move ways.
Move in the weird ways they're going to move. Do the stupid things they're going to do. And let them do it. Let them make their own decisions. And all you have to worry about is how you react to it. Obviously, in that circumstance, there's a lot of things going on. But, like, you can't control what other people are doing. All you can do is control how you respond to them. And maybe even, I think I experienced this in, like, a small day-to-day thing. Just yesterday, I went to the gas station with my boyfriend. He was filling up his tank. And there was a guy in the car next to us. There was a girl in the car next to us. And she was just, like, death glaring at us through the window for, like, no fucking reason. And, you know, some people, on the inside, I want to be like, what the fuck are you looking at? Like, you know, what's going on? And I just glared at her back. Because she was glaring at me, and she started like kind of throwing hands like she was saying something, and then she stopped. But I was like, I don't know what that circumstance was. It made me a little anxious because I don't know that person, and they kind of seemed like they were getting upset. Yeah. All I could control though was how I responded to her, and I just reciprocated her energy. She glared at me and I glared at her. I couldn't control that circumstance at all. And she just kept looking at us. Like, I did not like this person just staring at us while he's getting gas. But all I can do is control how I act. And I chose to death glare her back. So do with that what you will.
That's what you get, funky ass.
Yeah. And our last truth of the day is, and this is one that I picked out, and I think it's just like, again, I mean, like, these are like our most valuable lessons that we've learned in our 20s. And the last one is, time is your most precious asset and you don't get it back. And, you know, there's all these things you can do to try and prolong your life. And we do things like exercise and eat well and get your cavities filled and your, what are those things called when you go to the doctor so that you hopefully don't get sick? What are they called? Pre-visits or
vaccinations? What are you talking about?
No, like when you go to preventative visits.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Preventative visits. We do all these things to, like, why are we doing these things? We do them to extend our life and to get as most time as we can in. And it's just, I don't know, as soon as you realize like that time, you can't buy it back, you can't, but we sell it for so cheap, right? Mm-hmm. Like you sell your time away at a job you hate, where you're making shit money and you're scraping by, and obviously you can't just be like, oh well, I'm gonna fix it. There aren't like easy fixes to everything, but, you know, just really appreciating the time that you spend with your friends or your family, and also like just creating the life you want to live. Like your, what is your book? You know, all of our lives could be a novel, and I don't want my novel to be boring. I want my novel to be exciting. There is an end to the novel. There is a last page.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want my novel to be 72 chapters of I hate this and I sold my time away to a job I didn't like, to people I didn't like, to, I don't know. It's just, you know, also quality time is one of my love languages. Like time is so precious to me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, and you don't know how much of it you get. You could be, your book could be scheduled for 72 chapters and then something happens at 42 and book over. And you know what? I want that book to be as exciting and fun as it possibly can be until the last page, because I don't know when that is. And that, you know, don't, I guess like moral of that story is don't waste your time as much as you have in your control. Don't waste your time doing things you don't want to do, giving your energy away to someone else. You know, all the things like it, your time, that's like your gold. That's like your most precious, valuable asset.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like lately, the more, I don't know, I really don't know what has made me think about this so much lately, but sometimes I'll just be sitting on the couch with like Jackson or Mia or whatever. And I start to think like, and maybe, you know, partially this is because of losing Effie and just looking back on the days I had her and just, you know, what I would have done differently. I'll sit there and I'll just think about the future, like 15 years in the future, looking back at Brooke right now, like holding her dog, or Brooke right now getting, you know, annoyed that my dog has the tiniest bladder known to man and has to go out every single hour. And it humbles the shit out of me. And I'm just like, this is the time that I'm given with this little sentient being. And I want to make the most of it. And I don't want to look back in 10 years and be like, I took for granted all the time I had with that pet. Because I do look back at, you know, being with Effie. There are so many things. If I could go back and change them, I would. Like, I would have, you know, done more with her, taken her, you know, on trips more, all the, you know, let her like see more of the world. I know probably someone's like, it's a dog, she doesn't care. Dogs care. They like new smells. They like new smells. But like, yeah, like I genuinely think about stuff like that and like how much this time, especially when she's this young and has this much energy, like I want to savor that. And I also think about like when I'm really old and I'm looking back on like, oh, remember when you were 20 something and like you and Liz did this and you guys had the energy to like travel together and you guys like you didn't have back pain and knee pain and blah 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 blah. Like that type of shit will get you out of bed. Thinking about when like throwing your brain into overdrive into like 40 years in the future and yeah, thinking about like, damn, like I took my health for granted. I really need to, or like, I wish I had done better. I wish I was healthier or whatever back then. Cause maybe I'd feel better now at age 50, 60, whatever. There's that. And then also like in my relationship, I will be just sitting on the couch, like laughing at something Jackson says. And I'm just sitting here thinking like, oh my God, I just want to soak this moment up. I just want to freeze time. Like, I just wish that I could have a video of every special moment we've ever had, because one day, like, that's going to be gone. And all, like, all that is all wrapped up, it's just time. Like, it's just time you spend together. It's memories you make. And, you know, one day when you're old and maybe your partner's gone, you like, don't you want to have as many good moments to look back on and feel like you made the most of like the time you had.
Yeah, and it's also like, it's fear of having regrets, and there's going to be things you regret. There are things that we all already regret, and there will be many more, but the goal is to not hold you like, okay, maybe like I regret, did I regret eating seafood from this random restaurant on the day that I got married? I had seafood and then I got food poisoning the next day. Like, do I regret that? Yes, I did regret that. But there's things I don't want to regret. Like, I don't want to waste my years hating myself. I don't want to waste my years hating like my life and my circumstances. And I don't want to waste my years not doing the things that I want to do. If I remember being a kid and going on my once a summer vacation with my mom and my brother and my grandpa, and the only reason we could go on vacation is because my grandpa helped pay for it. My mom was a single mom, and she was working herself to the bone to put food on the table. And so my grandpa would take us on a summer vacation. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be, it's, I was just like, I'm never going to get to fly or travel as an adult. Like, look, my mom can't even do it. And she has a master's degree, you know, and I don't want a master's degree. How am I ever, if she can't travel and go on vacations without help, how am I ever going to do that? So I better take in all of these vacations I'm doing as a child. I was thinking this as a child. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking I better take all this in because as an adult, I'm not going to be able to have it. And I was already like thinking that I was going to live this life that I regretted because I couldn't afford to do the things I wanted to do or whatever it was. And I don't want to be 70 and been like, I wish I had gone here. I wish I had traveled there. That one really cool opportunity that came up and I said no to because I was a little nervous. Like, I wish I would have said yes to that. Or I wish I would have just like gone on that trip or seen that person because I didn't get to see them ever again after that.
Yeah.
You know, my grandpa is 81 and he has like no regrets. He has lived the coolest fucking life. My grandpa is like seriously the coolest person I know. And he is so, you know, he struggles with his own depression at this age because his body's getting older and, you know, his sadness that he has at the moment kind of revolves around like coming to terms with being older and what that means. But he has no regrets about the life that he lived. You know, he got to do all the things he wanted to do. And he, like, I want that. And that's what I'm setting myself up for, is just getting the shit done I want to do, meeting the people that I want to meet, seeing the people I want to spend time with, going to the places I want to travel, buying the things I want to own, and figuring out how to make all of that happen responsibly, you know, mm-hmm. like by not putting yourself in loads of debt for the car you want or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just, and so far in the past 2 years, I feel like I have been able to make up for my entire 20s. Because when I was 25, I was like, I'm halfway through my 20s and I have not had an ounce of fun. Like, I'm not having fun and I don't like it. And I also like didn't have the typical college experience. I didn't live in a dorm. I didn't like go to a ton of college parties or like I was fucking trying to survive and I didn't get that. And I like that kind of bothered me at some point where I was like, I just like, I wish I had gotten that cool, fun college experience that everybody else my age got to have.
Yeah.
And there's no way that I can fix that because I can't go back in time. And I'm not doing it now. I'm not living in a dorm now. I'm not going to do any of that shit now. Right? So like there are things, and there are some things that I'm like, okay, I wanted to do that. I still can. But there are things that are like gonna fucking pass. And I don't want my entire life to be full of things like that. Like, I didn't get the college experience I wish I had, I could have had. I wanted that to be end of the line of like, I'm nipping it in the bud in my 20s. I have dedicated, I'm like, you know what? I'm having fun now. I am living a life that I want, and I'm going to make that shit happen because I fucking can.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm not 70 and regret everything. I am not going to be 70 and regret everything because I take risks. I take the risks. I do the leaps with the fear, with the doubt, with everything. It's all there. It's not that I don't have it, but I fear a mediocre life way more. And for some people, you know, maybe that is what they want. But for me, a mediocre, boring ass, regretful life, not that nobody wants a boring ass, regretful life, but a lot of people live them.
Yeah. Some people are just happy, not happy, but they are content to settle because that's what's comfortable for them. So.
Right. And that's not enough for me.
No.
So I am going to use my time to write the coolest fucking book that is my life that I possibly can. That's the goal. The goal is just to have a really cool fucking book of a life. And
if you listen this far, go comment a book emoji under this episode's post on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because that is very, it encapsulates this episode, I feel. We really just talked about the book.
Yeah.
The book. Damn, you have me like fucking pumped, Liz. I want to like book a flight to like fucking Timbuktu, or I said Timbuktu, Thailand or some shit. Like, I got to get my passport first.
I was up last night planning the fall vacation I want to take to Virginia with my boyfriend because he's never been to the East Coast. So he hasn't been to Virginia. And he like wants to see the area that I grew up in. So I want to take him there in the fall because of all the colors. It's going to be so pretty. And that's something that like, I don't know. This would have been the kind of thing that I would have talked about for like, oh yeah, I want to take you home with me and I want you to see where I'm from. And I want to show you all the cool things that we can do there. And that could have easily just been something we always talked about and never did. But I sat down last night. I acted as if I was booking the trip last night. So mm-hmm. I saw, okay, how much does the flight cost right now? And a rental car and a hotel room. Cause I'm going to take him to Richmond. I'm going to take him we're going to pass through our hometown because there's nothing to see there. And I'm going to be like, you can look out the window and then you've seen it all.
Yep.
I want him to meet you. I want him to meet some of my other friends. I want him to meet my grandma. And then we're going to go up to Washington, D.C. because he's never been to Washington, D.C. And I planned out the whole itinerary with the cost and everything. And even day one of being, because we want to spend like 2 days in Washington, D.C., like what we're going to do and in what order and probably how long we're going to spend at each location on day two. All right.
God damn.
The ADHD was really kicking in last night. But that could have just easily been something we talked about forever
mm-hmm.
and never did. And that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. No, I want to say I want to do these things and I want to fucking do them. I don't want to have a laundry list by the time I'm 40 of, oh man, we never did that. Or we talked about this forever. And no, I want to say I want to do something and I want to do it.
Yeah. I need you to give me that energy next time you're here so that I can finish applying for my passport.
Okay, I can do that.
Because I keep getting overwhelmed by the idea of the fact that I was adopted by my grandma and I don't know how to fill out the thing as like an adopted child. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if you don't feel empowered and like confident and motivated after Liz's speech, like what the fuck are you doing?
Don't be a motivational speaker.
For real, dude. I feel like you just like process of osmosis, that freaking communications class we did in college. You like just remembered.
I have a almost communications degree.
True.
So, you know, but that's also not that this was on our list or anything, but connection with human connection is like been the most life-changing thing for me almost in every aspect of my life, you know, mm-hmm. in having friends and family and spending time with them, like genuine friends, like people who I'm not talking surface level friends, like your Brooke, you know, whoever that is, like, or your boyfriend or what your girlfriend, whatever. Those connections are so precious. It takes away the feelings of loneliness and isolation, just because you share energy and space with these people, and that's amazing. But also work for me has become so fulfilling because of the connections that I have, of the people that I meet, the people who I do work for, and then they love it and they recommend me to someone else. And that's kind of something that essentially just happened with Brooke, where now we have a little freelance gig together because she recommended me. And now I have these really cool connections and I get to work with Brooke on some freelance stuff. And that's how I've built my entire like business. Is not, I hate social media. I hate it, man. I hate it so much. I love designing the things that go on social media, but oh my God, I hate it so much. So I haven't met a single client through social media. I go to networking events and I get energized at these networking events. Like I start off every networking event being like, oh my God, why did I sign myself up for this? I just want to go home. I don't want to go talk to people I don't know and tell them about what I do. And then I get there and I'm like, what are you talking about? You love this bitch. And I get there, I chat with people. I love hearing people's stories. And then I end up walking out with work. I almost every single time. Like it's magic to me how connections have created my career and a fulfilling one. So like human connection, genuine human connection is life-changing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I guess technically we could talk about our special little connection we manifested really quickly to wrap this episode up. This is like totally unrelated to the topic. It's just like really exciting for us because it happened out of nowhere. One of my like jobs, I guess, like I have a full-time job, but I also freelance for a client, and they make glucose gels for type 1 diabetics. And I've been handling their content for a year next month. And the other day, like randomly, I was on a meeting with my manager through there. And she was like, oh, like, I kind of think it's time to, you know, move in a different direction with like the socials. Do you have anybody we can like recommend? And, you know, I'm just thinking like, I'm going to refer my best friend, of course, the best, you know, the best of the best, obviously. And I was like, oh yeah, let me just ask her tonight. Like she's actually here right now. Like she'll be back from work soon. I'll just ask her in passing if she'd be interested in picking up another client. So without an interview, without anything. Like, I mean, she looked at your resume and she looked at your portfolio and she's like, fuck yeah, I like this shit. And Brooke trusts her. So I think that was also like the selling point, is just like, because of that human connection, that trust that I've like built with this person, they are, you know, they're willing to take my recommendation. And so now Liz and I get to work every single month on this client's content. And it's super exciting because, I mean, it's what I do as my full-time job. And I mean, like, this is what I do full-time, but also for the freelance. But now it's like my freelance gig, I get to work with my best friend on it. And it's just really fucking cool because we talked about this before, how we like wanted to one day be able to work together on something, anything. And this was just totally random.
Yeah.
This was not like, this really took place in the span of like 72 hours. Like already they've like emailed Liz back and they're like, yeah, we're going to speed up the onboarding process because we know the client already wants you. So blah, 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 blah. And it's just really cool. And it's a really good feeling to be able to like promote your friends. I always try to look out for opportunities for my friends, especially like the ones who are creative and design things, or they're writers like me. Because you never know, like someone could seem kind of happy at their job, but you never know if someone's looking to make a parallel move. And yeah, so there's that. And I'm just super excited about it. We're literally going to be starting the shit rather probably tomorrow.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this week.
So, that's fucking
it's a really great example of how all of this came about because of human connection. Mm-hmm. and saying yes to an opportunity. So
I didn't even work for the freelance company until my friend referred me to them.
Right. So that's how you ended up finding this client because of another referral, mm-hmm. of another human connection.
Yeah.
And having there's, you know, there's so many cringy sayings, and they're only cringy because they get overplayed, oversaid, whatever. But there's a cringy saying that I like, and it's called your net worth is your network. You know, like you, the more spider webs, the more roots you have going out, the more opportunities you can bring in for yourself. And it's a really fun aspect of owning your own business, which that may be a sign. If you're like, that sounds like hell, then maybe owning your own business like isn't just what's for you. But for me, that's like super exciting. I get so hyped for all the new connections, all the new people I meet. That is something that literally, it's almost like caffeine. Like it almost does the same thing.
Yeah, it energizes you. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like resourceful. And I think the only reason that I was a little bit scared moving forward to do like freelance work like years ago was because of taxes. But then this year I did my taxes for the first time with a 1099 added onto my W-2. And I was like, this is fine.
Yeah. That's another example of just start it. Even if you're fearful of something, like, okay, I'm scared of the taxes, which is a genuine fear, because in the US, if you do your taxes wrong, you could get in big fucking trouble. Even though the government knows how much money you owe them, they're like, you need to figure that out. And if you fuck it up, we're going to get you in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, that is exactly why I pay someone at H&R Block. I pay this like fee that if anything's messed up, it falls on them and not me.
Yeah, so it's like, that is a genuine fear, but it would have held you back from this income stream, from these connections you met, from the experience you've gotten working for this client. And fear is a really hard thing to get over, but it's, you just have to start now. Even with whatever shit you're worried about, just start now.
Exactly. I agree. And you know what? With that sentiment, I'm going to point you lovely listeners in the direction of the Cosmic Coven group, where, you know, we do cosmic things. JK, we mostly post memes there and uplift each other. It's very worth being a part of. The link will be in the description of this episode. And if you don't already, go follow us on Instagram. Go follow us on Twitter. Check the link in our bio or whatever the fuck.
Give our podcast a review. Give us some stars.
Yes. Also, another thing. If you're on Spotify, this is a new thing Spotify has. I'm going to attach this to the episode. If you look down below, it'll tell you that you can answer a question that we're posing. And I'm going to put the question down there is, what is one truth that you have accepted about life? So you'll see that only on Spotify. I don't think other platforms have it, but you can directly respond to it and we will see your responses. And yeah, I'm excited to like use that, that feature. It's literally brand new. So
yeah,
but we love you guys so much. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for caring about us, hyping us up with this rebrand. You guys are amazing. And we're back on our shit. So we'll definitely be here next week. Unless somebody dies, which tends to happen in our lives. Okay.
Bye.
That's such a bad thing to say.